Hi, this is Dolph Lundgren. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr, and you are listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. And our other fat guy, Neil Miller, is still out gallivanting in Park City, Utah with all the cool people. So we went to bullseye.com and got another guy, because we had David Metzger on last week, and this week we have Jason Zingotley. Say hi, Jason.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm filling in for Neil this week. I'm channeling all his energy. I grew out my beard, I brushed up on my Michael Bay.
You didn't watch any movies at all?
Except
Michael Bay movies, just over
marathon.
And over. There you go. Because if Michael Bay could direct stuff like How She Move, that would have been a different movie.
Yes, that explosion at the end would have been much bigger.
That would have been cool. That's right, there was an explosion.
It was.
That possibly killed people. But we'll get to that in a minute. How do you get a hold of us? Fatguysatthemovies.com. You can catch us on iTunes. Just type in Fat Guys and we'll show up. And you can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. Or you can send us a voicemail. Or call and leave us a voicemail at 614-388-8735. That's 388-TREK, which has no Trek relevance whatsoever. So, Jason, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do and get the listeners to know you.
Well, I'm an associate editor for the site, so it means I just sit around and do nothing all day long.
Actually, you surf the internet and look at adult pictures.
Yeah, I surf the internet and I listen to your show and I read the site. No, actually...
you don't listen to our show at all.
I spend a majority of the time... working on movie reviews. I do a little bit of game reviews as well, TV. And then I also do a little editing as well, which is pertinent to my title.
That's cool. Well, hey, you're more professional than me, I guess. But unlike Neil, but you're not fat, too. So you're in decent shape.
No, I'm just chubby.
Robust. You're sitting next to me, so.
I look small.
Yeah.
In comparison.
you look like Nicole Richie, who we were talking about earlier.
Yes,
yeah. Before or after the baby. But we're going to start off with the movie reviews because, unlike Neil, you actually went and saw some movies this week.
I did. Yes. I even saw one I didn't want to see.
Okay. Well, that's the bane of being a film critic, I guess.
It is.
Yes. The first one is Untraceable, with Diane Lane starring as an FBI agent tracking down a cyber killer.
Ooh. Check out this tip we got about our website.
Is this real?
He's streaming live.
Just when you thought you'd seen it all.
You see that box? It regulates the amount of fluid going into the victim.
So the more people visit the site, the faster he bleeds.
That's right.
This website's like nothing we've ever seen before. It's untraceable.
I had to throw that in there because that was the name of the movie. It's untraceable. The website's untraceable.
It is.
What did you think of the movie, Jason?
Oh, horrible.
Really?
Just yeah.
Come out of the gate with your...
It was bad. It wasn't horrible. It wasn't the worst of the year. It might not even be the worst of the month, but... You know, it's bad.
That's all that's been this. It's been 1 month. If it's not the worst of the year, it's definitely not worth it.
In the end, it was Saw Light. It was Saw on the internet. It was what we thought was the end of torture porn. Apparently wasn't the end of torture porn with Captivity because, alas, we have more of it.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny is I saw it and I really didn't like it. And afterwards, I was hanging out with David from last week, who was on our show last week. And we just sat there and just started chewing through this movie about how much we didn't like it. I slept on it, and I woke up, and it's not like I liked it when I was done, but I woke up, and I'm like going, well, it was your run-of-the-mill sort of like all those Ashley Judd, Morgan Freeman movies that came out about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It was just another one of those.
You know what? The movie itself, it was bad, but it wasn't horrible. I think the biggest problem I had was movies like this and movies like Condemned from last year is they go out of their way to show you this, you know, graphic violence, whatever you have, you know, and then... At the end, they decided to tell you, oh, well, this is our little wag of the finger. You guys shouldn't be doing this. All you YouTube users are evil, and you're going to change the world. And, you know, the script likens what the killer is doing to people watching the Daniel Pearl murders.
Yeah.
It's not the same. We did not kill, you know, people.
Or Nick Berg. Because it was Daniel Pearl, they destroyed that video. It was Nick Berg is the videotape of the beheading. That's
Right. But my point is yeah. You know. Viewership did not affect his death.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing that kind of cheesed me about it is they had like 20 million visitors on this website in the scenes. And I'm like, you know what? I think there's a huge difference between going and saying, oh, I like watching death videos and I'm a freak that way. And watching a video that's already happened. that's just an archive footage that's disturbing and gross, but you're not actually causing it. I think if people knew they were causing the death, which it's not a surprise that they are, they publicize that in the movie, within the movie, you would have you'd have people going there, I'm sure, but it'd be like you maybe in the hundreds or the thousands. You wouldn't have millions of people.
Oh, for sure. And you know they do about middle way through the movie, they do a local newscast.
Yeah.
Where one of the FBI, you know, FBI agents in charge does a press conference, and you see the numbers start jumping like crazy, as if everybody in the country is watching this press conference.
Well, yeah,
from
Portland. Because I think if somebody said, "Hey, don't go to this website or somebody's going to die," and we actually have evidence, I think a lot of people would actually stay away from it.
After the first time, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, maybe they wouldn't believe it. But anyways, Fat Guy is great. What do you give it, Jason? Sucks, rocks, kind of sucks, kind of rocks.
I'm going to go with sucks.
Full suck?
A full suck. Suck.
Wow. I kind of have a kind of sucks just because it's... It starts out with torturing a kitten, which I think was a little bit in bad taste.
It was.
But aside from that...
Incredibly bad taste. And shameless marketing.
Yeah.
Very shameless marketing.
But speaking of shameless marketing, let's move on to the next movie, Meet the Spartans, which is pretty much epic movie part two. And when I say that, I mean a real number two.
Oh, yeah.
So here's a trailer.
This is Sparta! Spartans! We about to stomp the yard. You got served.
Now, you liked this trailer, though.
I like certain parts of it. I have to say I do like all the Spartan related comedy,
at least in that half, two minutes.
In that 30 seconds that we heard, the Britney Spears stuff is just below the belt.
Yeah.
But you know, I giggle every time I hear that. I don't know why.
You got served. You got served. Spartan served.
I love watching King Leonidas say, "You got served." The black beanie rocking on top of his head.
No,
any day of the week.
This one, it's coming out in January. It's probably going to take the weekend. People are going to go see it. It looks absolutely awful. And let me read you something from the 20th Century Fox press release. They say, Regent Enterprises and 20th Century Fox invite you to meet the Spartans from the new masters of the parody genre, writers-directors Jason Freeberg and Aaron Seltzer. Do you think they're masters?
I think they're masters of the suck.
There you go. They didn't screen it, so we don't have a grade, but we got to go to a break. And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. As we heard in the last segment, we didn't review Meet the Spartans because they didn't screen it for us.
No, they did not.
They're
but
terrified.
That wasn't much of a surprise.
No, I mean, you saw that coming. I remember I saw an ad for that in front of the Comebacks, which they also didn't screen. I'm like going, well, I'm going to have to pay to see this one too, I guess.
Yeah, they know how to get your money.
Yeah, they're making that $5 from me.
Yeah.
So, but it's a preemptive suck because they didn't do it. And I'm pretty sure that's going to stay. Grade.
Yeah, I think so. I can't imagine it getting a better grade than that.
Because Epic Movie was your...
Epic Movie was my worst movie of 2007.
Was number two Into the Wild?
No, it was actually number 10. I just got it on there. I think there are movies that were worse than Into the Wild, but I wanted to write about it. I wanted to get it up there so people knew that not everybody loves this movie.
You said I'm going to force that into the top 10.
I'm going to force it into the top 10. And what do you know? It was my longest entry.
Everything was like 50 words, 600 words.
It was a review. I could have written a review.
That's hilarious. Well, let's move on to other movies. Another movie that we both saw was that I dragged you to because you're like, I don't want to go to this. I'm like, well, it's opening. We're going to talk about it on the show. And you're like, oh, I guess.
Yeah.
So.
I went.
Yeah. It was How She Move, A Girl Returns to the Inner City, where she has to win a dance competition to get respect.
When my parents lost everything, it meant there was no money left for private school anymore.
Hey, Rhea. What you doing here?
Thought it'd be a good idea if I came back for a little while.
Don't go slumming on our account.
This is our one moment. We've been waiting for this our whole lives.
What on earth are you doing here with these people?
I'm doing what I have to get out of here.
Hey, you gotta love that soundtrack, right?
It actually has a rockin' soundtrack.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
But not liking hip-hop.
Yeah, I'm not a huge hip-hop fan, and this is the thing that really kind of bothered me about the movie. Half the stuff, they could have been speaking, like, Chinese. Because they had so much, like, urban vernacular, and there was parts where like somebody would yell something at somebody, and I'm like, what did he just say? And then they'd get mad, and I go, well, I guess that was insulting.
I guess he's mad about something. He said something mean.
I had no idea what they were. I mean, did you ever see Hardware Wars, the spoof of Star Wars that they made like in the 70s?
No, I didn't.
They have this one where they have the bad guy's Darth Nader or Dark Nader or something like that. And he talks like this. He's, and that's how he talks. And nobody understands what he says. That's what I felt like at parts where they're just like, I mean, I could hear the words, but it just made no sense to me. And I guess that's because... Yeah, I'm a white guy living in the suburbs.
I didn't really notice that. I don't know. Maybe it's just...
You're much more hip than I am.
I guess I'm more hip. I did. I was caught off guard by the fact that a lot of them had Jamaican accents.
There was a high concentration of Jamaican... Because it took place in Washington, correct? Washington, D.C., I think.
I don't even know where it took place. They're talking about Baltimore was a little ways off.
Yeah, because the thing is, Baltimore's not that far from Washington.
No, it's about, what, a couple hours, an hour
or
two.
Yeah, you can drive there, yeah. But at first I thought they were in New York because she starts talking, oh, you're from Brooklyn, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
But I think, I don't know. It was in a big city, and then they had to go to, where did they go for the finals? Michigan.
They went to Detroit.
Detroit, yeah. Okay, so.
Well, D.C.'s a pretty dirty place, so I can see.
D.C.'s not a nice place to live if you're.
At all.
Yeah, well, if you're a senator.
It's not a very nice place to have our nation's capital.
If you're a senator, if you live in the big white house on Pennsylvania Avenue, you're going to be okay.
You get some good digs there, yeah.
Yeah, but I wouldn't. Except I was in D.C. and I went and found the Exorcist stairs, and I pushed somebody down them just to see what it looked like.
Oh, that wasn't nice.
That was fun though.
I bet it was.
Lots of fun. It was a bum. Nobody knew. But anyways, back to How She Move.
Yeah.
So how you rate? How you rate, Jason?
I rate. Kind of sucks.
Kind of sucks.
It wasn't horrible. You know, it's an okay movie. It's going to bring in a big crowd, just like Stomp the Yard did.
Yeah.
It's exactly like Stomp the Yard, but it's got a female character instead of a male character.
Now, I didn't see Stomp the Yard. I mean, was it like the same story where a guy had to go back to the...
No, you know, it wasn't the same story. It's essentially... Stomp the Yard is something happens to his older brother or his best friend. Either
oh,
they
that's
die
right.
or they go to prison. He goes to a university and
he's in a fraternity, right?
And he joins a fraternity that where they stomp the yard.
That's right.
So it's the same setup, essentially, where they're, you know, the protagonist is joining a dance crew. And trying to win something at the end,
yeah.
And like all these movies, it's the last 15 minutes at all that really matters.
Yeah, I think if you like to watch the dancing, is it called step dancing?
I think it's called step dancing or stomping.
Because I always thought step dancing was, you know, the Irish sort of river dance thing.
Sure. Or yeah.
This would be urban step dancing, not Celtic step dancing.
I suppose. It's, you know, and the problem is the dancing in the beginning and in the middle isn't good. It's kind of really boring and really raw, and
yeah, at the end there, it's really cool because it's all performance.
Right, exactly.
So yeah, I mean, if you like that sort of thing, if you like seeing the dancing, that's what you're going to see it for. And it wasn't like a bad story. It seemed to move fast though, which is weird. And it's not like it moved fast that it was like it was so awesome. It ended too quickly. It just seemed to move through it.
It had a short runtime and it had perfect pacing. Yeah, I mean, you didn't feel. Like you were stuck there forever,
yeah.
Which is always nice when you're not watching a particularly great movie.
So you said kind of
sucks.
Kind of sucks. I'm actually going to go with kind of rocks simply because even though it's not my cup of tea necessarily, I thought it did exactly what it went out to
do. Of course, yeah. And for a mostly all Canadian production, I think they did a phenomenal job.
Lots of
Jamaicans they had to work with.
In the Canadian
and lots
production.
Of, and apparently so.
Anyways, let's move on to the next one. Rambo, the new Rambo movie is out. Again, did not screen it. On tradition, we have to give it a preemptive suck, but we'll talk about it anyway. Stallone is back for the fourth installment of the action franchise.
I was told it might be possible to rent your boat. We need to get upriver.
Where?
Into Burma.
Burma's a war zone.
Please, that will help change people's lives.
Are you bringing in any weapons?
Of course not.
You're not changing anything. War is in your blood. When you're pushed, killing's as easy as breathing. Live for nothing. Or die for something.
And he directed this one too, didn't he?
And wrote it. The triple threat.
Well, but he wrote Rambo...
Rocky
2 and well, no, but he wrote the second two Rambo movies.
Oh, okay.
Rambo 2 and Rambo 3. So I don't know. Ever since I saw the trailer for this, or way back when it was the internet trailer, the red band, like just people literally blowing up, I'm like, this is just going to be an excuse to just kill bad guys.
Yeah.
And I'm okay
much.
With that.
It's just, you know, violence, hardcore to the you know, pedal on the floor.
Yeah,
I can't imagine. But the setup is just so lame.
Well,
it's like a group of Christians who are trying to make the, you know, trying to make the world a better place, and they get kidnapped by some, like, Thai. It's a Thai. I think it takes place in Burma. Some Thai.
It takes place. Yeah. It's, well, because he's in Thailand, and he was in Thailand in the other two movies. I went and rented them, and they have this sort of this 80s action film plot and style that's sort of like Commando or something like that, but it looks like it's going to be the same kind of movie, only really, really awesomely violent.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the only way that they actually get seats in the theater. I mean, or...
That's the only way they get...
People in the seats in the theater, I should say.
Yeah, well, and I think... I went and watched the other two, and really the formulae... Because First Blood is very different, but Rambo 2 and Rambo 3 were very much... Rambo goes, he gets people... There's people... held captive, he goes and he kills all the bad guys single-handedly and blows a lot of things up, and they escape in a helicopter.
Yeah, which is what all the Chuck Norris movies were like back in the day, too.
Exactly. So if you like those sort of things, Rambo's going to be your bag.
I see it, you know.
So we got to go to a break. When we come back, more stuff.
Flowers lonely, I burn out slowly like a cigarette. Kiss me.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We've reached our internet-only segment, I believe.
That's right. Internet-only, so you can say...
Anything I want.
Anything you want, within reason.
Awesome.
Okay, so what are you going to want to say?
I have no idea. Let's talk about this box office roundup here.
Sure.
First.
Sure. Go ahead, talk.
Okay, yeah.
Let's talk about it. No.
I think, you know, I wanted to call you guys out last week... on your prediction of Cloverfield, but it looks like a lot of the analysts are right. It hit $40 million.
Yeah, and it clobbered, as they said, clobbered the Martin Luther King Day weekend.
Yeah, I broke both records, I believe, three and 4 day.
Well, and Martin Luther King Day is a relatively new sort of like national holiday. They only like really made it as really sort of that bank holiday like 5 years ago or something like that.
Right.
You know, so it's not like, you know, 4th of July weekend, which has always been a big movie thing. You know, 10 years ago, Martin Luther King Day weekend wasn't a huge movie weekend.
But in that same respect, there's not a lot of big movies opening that would be opening on this weekend anyways.
And
so,
it is January.
Exactly. So you really can't expect too many movies to be breaking this record in the future.
Yeah.
But you know what? I wasn't surprised by the big box office return because, you know, it's one of those movies that everyone is going to see opening weekend. And if you don't, you know, you're the odd man out.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I Dave made a really interesting point last week. He said... If you go, he's like, it's like 90 minutes long. So you can fit like, they can show it 20 times a day.
Exactly.
Put it on a couple screens and they get plenty of people coming in. It doesn't cost them any more money because, you know, what are they going to put, you know, another Alvin and the Chipmunks, which is still in the top 10. But, you know, are they going to put Lad on three screens? No, they're going to put Cloverfield. And 27 Dresses did okay.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that either. You know, there really haven't been any romantic comedies lately.
The closest one was P.S. I Love You, which really wasn't a comedy, and that was right around that was Christmas, but before that it's, you know, we're talking like October or something like
so
that.
Both new openers did well,
both new very well.
I think I'm still surprised about the Bucket List being at number 3.
Really? Well, yeah. you were sort of lukewarm to that one, anyway.
I was very lukewarm. I mean, I had a feeling that the big stars would pull in a more adult audience,
mm-hmm.
but for the fact that it's you know, it's second week, I think it did $14 million.
Yeah.
Pretty respectable.
Well, and I think it brought in the old audience because it was about old guys, you know.
Right.
But it's also, I think it's still connected with a young audience simply because who doesn't like Jack Nicholson? Who doesn't recognize Morgan Freeman? I mean, those are names that people will remember from good movies. You know, it's not like they dug up, like, you know, Rod Steiger to do some sort of, like, you know, I mean...
Which is why I don't like the fact that it did well. I don't like the fact that you could just stick two or three big stars in a movie that sucks. Not to say this one totally sucked, but that isn't good.
I liked it.
And still make money off of it.
Well, but they worked well together. You sometimes you put two people in a movie and they'd have no chemistry, but I thought the two of them actually played off each other pretty
well. You know what would have worked well is if they had actually switched the roles. Jack Nicholson's known for being the over-the-top guy.
Yeah.
Give that role to Morgan Freeman, see what he does with it, and make Jack Nicholson the more reserved one, and then see what happens.
Sure. Although, you know, I don't think I could buy Jack Nicholson as being this sage-like, wise mentor who fixes cars but knows that Nikola Tesla invented the radio.
I guess. I mean, I think that's a product of, you know, just him being typecast throughout so many years and mm-hmm. just his own personal his own personality just, you know, makes it impossible. But fine, recast it. Don't put Jack Nicholson in the movie. But, you know, give that role to Morgan Freeman. See what he can do with it.
I think, oh, yeah, Morgan Freeman would have been good in that. Sure, sure.
So then rounding out the top five, Juno.
Doing well. Banking $85 million at this point as its total, which is pretty doggone good for a little comedy about a girl gets knocked up.
Yeah. You know, almost probably better than Knocked Up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, if you talk it like Risk to Return.
Oh, yeah.
It's incredibly well playing.
I mean, the movie itself is just amazing, but when you've got a studio like Fox Searchlight behind it, they're going to knock it out of the park.
They're doing some great stuff. Yeah. They really are. And that's just not me sucking up to Fox Searchlight.
No, not at all.
Because you know, trust me, they've sent out some crap.
They're the new Miramax in my mind.
Yeah. Well, I think Lionsgate was at that point like 2-3 years ago, and they've kind of surpassed into major studio status. And now Fox Searchlight is really going up there. But Paramount Vantage is coming up.
I think the difference between even Paramount Vantage and Fox Searchlight and then Lionsgate is that those two studios are actually going to get awards.
Yeah. Well,
Lionsgate is not going to see any golden statues anytime soon.
You don't think that Awake's going to win the best? They're not going to do a write-in candidate for Awake.
No, I don't think so.
Tyler Perry, anything like that?
Tyler Perry, I hope he never wins an Oscar. That's actually worse. Wow. That's actually worse than Eddie Murphy.
Norbit. We'll talk about that in the next segment and later on in the show about Eddie Murphy and Norbit and what, you know, how Eddie Murphy just sort of pulled a big punk on Hollywood twice, 2 years in a row.
Yeah, he did. He's all over the place.
That's right. But Mad Money came in sixth. That's no big surprise. And it finished second to First Sunday in its second week, which is an awful movie. You didn't get the pleasure of First Sunday.
I had the pleasure to see it, but I did not take that pleasure.
Did you? Oh, you had the opportunity.
I had the opportunity.
You didn't take the pleasure.
No, I did not.
Sort of like saying no to the hooker with the mouth sore.
Or the one leg, yeah.
Well, you can't catch one leg. You're going to catch things from a mouth sore.
I don't want to have.
Not that I'm saying that you're going to test the theory.
I just don't think I don't think I'd be up for any defunct prostitute.
No, but you can maybe angle it in better with one leg. I'm just talking about a fat guy's got a belly. Belly's got to go somewhere. So at least that might be an advantage.
Okay. Moving on.
Moving on. You're disturbed. All right. But then you have National Treasure, Alvin and the Chipmunks. Some stuff that's still cranking out from Christmas. I Am Legend is getting ready to crack $250 million. So. And Atonement came in number 10, which is pretty impressive.
It's not too surprising considering it just won the Golden Globe.
The Golden Globe buzz, but then they didn't have the ceremony. We'll see. Next weekend. This weekend we've got the biggest release is Rambo.
Yep.
Not a huge surprise.
No, not at all.
But what is a huge surprise is they usually do midnight screenings. They did a midnight screening last week for 27 Dresses on Thursday night. There is not a midnight screening of Rambo within 100 miles of Columbus.
Unacceptable.
That's just ridiculous.
I need my late night Sylvester Stallone.
I totally would have gone, and it would have totally made money. Like Saw, I went and saw Saw 4 at midnight, packed.
All midnight screenings make money.
Yeah, they always do.
People can't wait.
Yeah. So Rambo, that's the only thing that makes me a little bit worried. Film School Rejects had a very negative review of it. Advanced review.
I saw that. I did.
I didn't read the review because I don't read my site. No, I'm just kidding. I don't read. It's not really my site. It's Neil's site.
It was a terrible review. Not terribly written, but.
You know, he did. Yeah, well, yeah. It was like if you can give a grade lower than an F, I mean, he would have given it a G if he could.
A G minus.
A G minus. The next biggest release is actually Meet the Spartans, which I think is going to be fighting Rambo for the top spot. Although I have to say, I think Meet the Spartans probably going to win.
I have to disagree.
Really?
I know those movies typically do well, but with so much competition this weekend.
Well, what do you think is going to win?
I think Rambo. I really do. I think it'll be Rambo at 1, Meet the Spartans 2, and Traceable 3.
The reason I think Meet the Spartans is going to be number 1 is simply on the rating. Just the fact that's PG-13.
Okay, right.
Rambos are, not that keeps people away, but you know what? Epic Movie did incredibly well.
Date Movie did incredibly well.
But
you know, Epic Movie didn't have as much competition. And it didn't have, I would consider Rambo and Meet the Spartans both male movies. An epic movie didn't really have that kind of competition last year. So I'll be curious to see what happens, but you know, I think it can go anyway.
Pundits are saying it's 18 million. This is my source says 18 million for Rambo, 17 million for Cloverfield, 15 million, 27 Dresses, and then Meet the Spartans at 14 million, and then How She Move at number 5. But if you look at what the predictions are, you're looking at a 4 million spread
those
four.
It's gonna be close.
I don't think Cloverfield's gonna hold on that strongly.
Cloverfield's gonna drop. There's no way it's one. It might even drop.
I think it's
going to
drop like a stone simply because everybody I've ever talked to has been like, it's a cool movie, but I don't want to see it again.
The one thing it has going for it is the post buzz. In regards to what I mean is, you know, they see the movie, they love it or they hate it. They go online, they read all the forums, they read all about the secret stuff that's hidden.
Yeah.
They read, you know, interviews that were featured on Film School Rejects about, oh, maybe you can find out where the monster really is from.
Yeah.
And they want to go back and see it again.
Yeah.
Even if it's for that 1 second, 2 second, 3 second clip.
I think it has a chance. But I think Meet the Spartans, Meet the Spartans is going to beat Cloverfield just because the kids, you've got sort of like the teenage crowd that's going to still want to go see the movies and they're going to be able to see it. Rambo's, I think, is going to be just a little too hardcore.
It's possible. It'll be close, though. Yeah. But those two are going to fight for 1 and 2. Cloverfield were probably 3.
I think How She Moves is going to have a really good showing, too.
It will. It's not going to have nearly as big as Stomp the Yard did last year, though.
No, well, part of it is because it's only in 1,500 theaters, too. I mean, that's it's fighting against that.
Right.
But it's going to be one of those, that's going to be the little, because I found that more times than not, when you have a movie that's really geared towards an urban audience, that everyone, like, counts it down at, like, number 5 or 6, and then suddenly it's just like, wow, this thing did really well. So who knows? I mean, How She Moved might win. I don't think it will. Not with half the theaters of Rambo. But,
not at all.
So, but there you go. And that's our official thoughts on the box office. But yeah, aside from that, I'm gonna go see Rambo. I'm gonna go see Meet the Spartans. Then I'm gonna go see Rambo in a double feature that I have to pay for. I'm gonna get a big popcorn bucket, huge,
and refills.
Yeah, no. Well, you know what? This theater sometimes doesn't do refills.
Oh, that's.
I said, and they go, "Do you get a refill on the you need a refill on the 386 size, ounce popcorn?"
The Homer Simpson size.
Yeah, and they're like, "No," and I'm like, "What? Are you losing money? It costs like 14 cents to fill the bucket of popcorn, and they charge you $8."
I think the actual bucket that it comes in costs more than the popcorn they fill with.
Well, and the same thing with pop. I mean, pop's like $4 for a big silo drink.
Yeah,
and I know a theater owner who used to run a theater, and he's like, yeah, and he told me it's like 10 cents.
Yeah, you know, and I'll complain, because I know that too, and I know what that stuff costs, but, you know, until the studios start giving the theaters more money, what else are they going to do?
Yeah. There's a Chinese restaurant outside the theater, though. I may sneak out and get lunch.
Oh, gosh, I used to bring in fast food all the time.
Really? They let you do it?
Who knows? I mean, Arby's is tough, though. You know, it's really easy. It's Taco Bell because that stuff's wrapped up, ready to go.
Oh, okay. Oh, Arby's. I'm like, what? Do they have the Arby's police? You can bring in McDonald's, but you're not bringing in damn Arby's.
Oh no, I mean, there's no police. I'm just saying, you know, it depends on your taste. But
Taco Bell's good to sneak
in. Taco Bell's the easiest to eat. No, it's not a matter of sneaking it in. It's a matter of eating in the dark.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you know, I'll give you.
And having you know, somewhere to put stuff.
That's, well, everything's so compressed, you can just eat a taco.
Exactly.
Which is funny because Taco Bell's actually harder to eat in a car when
it
you're
is.
Driving.
Yeah.
It's very, I mean, Arby's is really neat, easy, anything with sandwich and fries.
The only thing that comes in a box, really.
Yeah, frankly. But like try eating like Nachos Supreme while you're driving. I've done it.
It's
Amarillo, Texas.
Close to impossible.
Dangerous. Dangerous. Very dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, hey, when all those Lord of the Rings movies came out, we went to Arby's, got our 5 for $5.
You know what they should do? I would totally go to a movie theater like this. If they had like a buffet and you could go get food during it, and like for a movie like Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King, that's a 4-hour movie. Jesus Christ.
Almost, yep.
Yeah, I mean, that's breakfast, lunch, and dinner right there.
If you plan correctly. Or if you're like a hobbit and you eat like 8 times a day.
Well, I'm so not a hobbit.
Now
I'd be the fattest hobbit.
Now
in
it's
the
breakfast.
World.
Now it's after breakfast. Now it's tea. Now it's pre-lunch.
They're like shrews. You know, they eat like twice their weight in body weight or food.
Yeah, I wonder why they're so fat. It's like,
yeah. Well, I mean,
stop eating.
Elijah Wood's not fat, but man, Sam was huge in that.
All they do in that movie is eating smoke gillyweed or whatever.
They smoke gillyweed.
No, that's Harry Potter. They smoke
they
something.
Smoke? They don't smoke. The kids don't smoke.
Yeah, they
that
do.
That gets you an R rating.
They smoke. They when smoke do they pipes. Smoke?
When? The kids?
The hobbits.
There aren't any hobbits in Harry Potter.
No. I'm talking about the hobbits. They smoke. They smoke and eat. That's all they do.
And apparently look at rings.
Yeah, and bitch and complain.
And my precious. So, yeah. Now I'm thinking about what I'm going to eat in my movies tomorrow because I'm hungry.
I'm telling you, Taco Bell.
Taco Bell.
Get that 10 for 10. You'll be set.
10 for 10.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a lot, but those tacos are so small.
I can pound down tacos, man.
Yeah.
Tacos would be awesome. But yeah, where would I sneak in 10 for 10? I'd have to have a big coat.
Oh, I just bring a book bag.
What are they going to do? Search
say it? You're a film critic and you have to carry your notebook around.
That's right.
Hey.
That's a good idea.
What I used to do is I used to find out what theater, what kind of soda they served. So if they sold Coke, I would bring Pepsi.
I could tell you exactly. A theater, I'll tell you what they serve.
AMC.
AMC serves exclusively Coke.
Regal.
Regal, I believe, is Pepsi.
Cinemark.
Cinemark is Coke.
Marcus.
Marcus is Pepsi.
That's really the only... Magic Johnson.
At least in Columbus. Huh? Magic Johnson?
Magic Johnson theaters.
What?
I don't think they're not in Columbus. But
well, I said anything in Columbus.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize.
I was about to say.
I was just trying to think of more theaters.
You get AIDS if you go there?
Oh, that's just...
Do we need to go to a breakdown?
Whackity schmackity doo. Oh, too much? Too far? Too far?
Too far.
That was too far.
I was too far. I think the AIDS comment, the Patton Oswalt ripoff wasn't too far.
You should have said HIV would have been safe.
So you're saying it'd be safe? What? HIV? You can make jokes about people having HIV? Well, he doesn't have AIDS, right?
Yeah, he has HIV.
But he has HIV. He's HIV positive, but he doesn't have AIDS.
That's my point.
Is he out there having sex with one-legged prostitutes? That's probably where he got it.
I don't think his wife would stay with him any longer if he had sex with him.
Probably not now.
Oh, before.
Of course, so you have to think, if you do have AIDS, wouldn't that be kind of like just, you know, a blank check to go have sex with prostitutes?
I suppose, but I don't think that'd be really fair to them.
Would you clear? No, I mean, wouldn't it be like, you'd be like.
Declare, just to let you know I have AIDS. Is that cool?
Do you have AIDS?
Twice as much? Okay.
So do I. We're Deal. Good. We're not going to catch anything from
you. Do you accept checks? Okay. Money orders? Hold on.
Who's going to get a money order? That'd be hilarious. Somebody's trying to sign over a money order to a prostitute.
Where can I catch this again? The post office? All right.
I'll drop you there after I'm done. Just nod me in the backseat. Anyways, that's what we have to say about the box office. We're going to go to a break. Talk to you later. And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. If you heard the last segment, or if you haven't turned us off from offending all the AIDS people and prostitutes out there, we're back. Our producer Richard complained. He's worried that prostitutes are going to call in and complain. And I'm thinking, you know, and if you're a prostitute, whether or not you have AIDS, if you're a prostitute, give us a call and complain. That's what I have to say.
We'd love the feedback.
I'd love to hear the feedback. I'd love to hear what the prostitute contingency says. There would be nothing better than having a whole band of AIDS-infested prostitutes picketing the Magical Studio in the Sky every week. Don't you think so, Richard? Yeah.
I think we need a different color ribbon for that.
You know what? The Dane Cook ribbon of brown, there's every other shade is taken. Name a ribbon. If you go to like Wikipedia and you look up, I don't know what they call it. There's a like support ribbons or something like that. What you just look up AIDS or look up, you know, and they'll tell you, and they'll have the list, and it tells you every single color. It's like they got puce ribbons and teal ribbons and, you know,
colorless ribbons.
Yeah, I mean, like autism. They're like autism was like, we can't pick a color, so we're gonna put, you know, puzzle pieces on
key lime green.
Key lime green ribbon. Yeah, that's for old people with AIDS in Florida. One-legged prostitutes
again with the AIDS.
Again with the prostitutes. That was me, I guess. Anyways, we're going to segue off the prostitutes and AIDS bandwagon and talk about old people because we got our top 10 list coming up.
We do.
And this is the top 10 in honor of Rambo because, you know, Sylvester Stallone like didn't make movies of any worth for like 10 years and got old. Yet he came back and made Rocky Balboa and kicked some ass. And now he's making Rambo and kicking some ass. We'll see how that does in the box office. But after watching Rocky, I'm like, yeah, this guy could still kick the crap out of me.
He could. He could. But you know what? He looks so disgusting.
He looks looks like he just got bigger.
The muscles are there, but it looks like an old guy with muscles, and it just freaks me out.
Yeah, it's weird, because there's this guy, I go to a gym, believe it or not, and there's a guy there, and he's old, and he looks like he melted, because his body is just, bleh. And it's sort of like, that's what happened to Stallone, but he bulked up, but he didn't, if you go back and watch, like, the old Rocky movies and the Rambo movies, he's cut, and he's lean, and his muscles, all that Nautilus workout stuff. And here it just looks like he went back to old school first Rocky workout, where it's real thick and heavy muscles.
No, you're right. I mean, that's a very good description. when you said that he melted, or you know, and then it's like it is like he melted, and then he just built himself back up again. It's surreal.
It's
creepy.
But he could still kick our ass.
He could.
He could come in this room and kick both our asses and Richard, our producer's ass too.
Yeah.
He
could pretty much anybody, I'd say.
So we decided let's think of all the other old guys in Hollywood who could kick our ass, who are older than 50. That's what our cutoff point was.
Yeah.
50.
Well, I mean, Over the Hill's 50, right?
Yeah. Well, it used to be 40, but no, it's 40. You can still look good.
We're living longer these days. Let's kick it up to 50.
Well, yeah. The other thing is when Stallone made Rambo 3, he was like in his late 30s, if not close. I mean, he was at least pushing 40. So I'll say, you know, let's get out of the 40s. Let's get fully into the 50s. Where you got gray hair, things start falling off of you. You're maybe looking at getting your prostate checked.
People call you grandpa.
That's right. So the top 10 old farts that can still kick our ass. And number 10 is Mel Gibson.
Ah, Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson. We debated over this one.
We did. I didn't want him on, and then Kevin, he changed my mind.
Yeah, I said if he was drunk and you were Jewish, he'd definitely kick your ass.
Yes.
So I think that's very true. But Mel Gibson, he's a tough guy, you know, and he's old.
He's tough enough.
Yeah. So if he especially has a beard. So.
And a mullet.
That would be awesome.
But yeah, I mean, he's hanging out with those Mayans and stuff. He's crazy.
That's right, man.
You go a rabbit on my ass. Not rabbit as in like Bugs Bunny rabbit, but rabbit like foaming at the mouth.
Pulls
rabbit.
Out a carrot. He's like, hey, what's up, Doc?
What's up, Doc?
I just fall down and pretend he beat me up just because I'd be scared of him.
You know, if you had a carrot, he'd probably go Clive Owen on me. And
that's right. And where would he stick it? We don't know.
My neck or something.
Yeah, somewhere damaged.
Somewhere where I bleed a lot.
I'll leave that. Anyway, that's from a discussion off in show prep with Richard about where he bleeds and sticks carrots. Anyways, number 9 is your pick for this one, Ian McShane.
Ian McShane, oh God, he's a badass.
Tell me about why you wanted Ian McShane on this list.
Well, you know, he kicks ass in Deadwood for, what, 3 years, I believe?
Yeah.
But recently, I think he was even older when he's in Hot Rod.
Oh, yeah.
And he just beats the living shit out of Andy Samberg.
Yeah.
And I'm no much more in shape than Andy Samberg, so I know that if I were to go up against him.
But you have a real mustache.
I do, yes. I don't need a fake one. That doesn't change things.
And unless you know the move that'll make a grown man just shit his pants, you're not going to win in a fight with Ian McShane.
No.
So, yeah, I'll give you Ian McShane. Number 8, our good friend Terry Hulk Hogan.
Hulk.
The Hulk. Because
he's still huge.
Yeah. What's he taking, man?
I have no idea. You know, he's a really nice guy, though.
Apparently he is.
But he'd still kick my ass.
Oh, he'd totally kick our asses. And I'll give him reason to, because his daughter's hot.
Yeah.
Jesus. Is she 18 yet?
I don't think so. Gosh, I swear she was like 12 when that show started.
Nah, she wasn't that young. She was hot from the beginning. And if she was hot when she was 12, that's sort of like, that even takes you out of like Miley Cyrus territory.
Yeah.
So, and she's a lot better looking than Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I'd say so.
Okay.
But it's kind of, I just don't think
you're a lot closer to her age than I am.
I still don't think I'd ever hit on her.
No, not with him.
Aside from the obvious reasons, the fact that he's her father, just.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan. But number 7, Dolph Lundgren.
Oh.
Who we had introduced the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. In honor of Rocky IV. And this guy's still alive and kicking and doing some great. Well, I wouldn't say great. I mean, he does some direct to DVD videos.
He's still working, which is important.
Yeah, and he's got his name behind it. And he directs too, which is actually kind of impressive. I mean, his movies are okay, but they're you know, Showtime kind of.
Whenever I heard his name, you know, a few years ago, I'd think to awful. What a horrible actor.
Yeah.
I tuned into one of his flicks. He's not that bad.
He's not that bad. And also, you know, he's actually a smart guy.
Yeah, he sounds very intelligent.
Very intelligent guy, and he's also very well. He has a degree, I think, in chemical engineering, like a master's degree, and he's one of those people who suffered in image from the tough guy role and the fact he had an accent earlier. Now he doesn't. He's actually gotten rid of a lot of his Swedish accent, but he had that accent. Same thing Schwarzenegger ran into. Schwarzenegger's a genius, but everyone thinks he's stupid because he has an Austrian accent.
He talks like this.
He has an Austrian accent, which actually that's, I know, I used to know a girl from Austria and she talked like Schwarzenegger. And I'm like, well, that's just her accent.
Yeah.
You know, it's not my fault that the Austrians have an accent that makes you sound dumb when you speak English. Well, that's what everyone thinks.
Add them to the list, people. Well, Austrians. You know,
there are people that think, oh, you've got a British accent. You must be smart. And there's a lot of stupid British people out there.
I'm not denying it.
All right, number six. This one is kind of coming out of left field, or right field, as you might say, or maybe centrist field, possibly.
Depending on the day.
John McCain.
John McCain.
You know, he's not an actor, but occasionally he'll show up on like Saturday Night Live and stuff, but he could kick our ass.
And, like Rambo, he's a Vietnam vet.
That's right. I mean, seriously, I don't want to meet John McCain with his shirt off and a gun in a back alley.
No.
Because that would just get ugly.
You know he went through some rough shit while he was a POW.
Yeah, he would flash back in the middle. What I'd love to do is I'd love to take him and Howard Dean and put them in a giant shoebox and then shake it and see who'd win.
It'd have to take place in Iowa, though.
That'd be awesome.
Iowa, middle Howard. Ground.
And then maybe they could, well, you know what they could do is they could like throw in John Edwards, the psychic guy and the Democratic hopeful, throw them in, and then they could eat them. And then they could get their energy back, and John McCain and Dean, Howard Dean could fight each other.
Come on, red face.
That was it. Okay, anyways, to another number five, which is another political one. Somehow there's Republicans all over this list. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Big surprise.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how well he is at actual fighting since he's a bodybuilder. But he'd probably kick my
ass. He's huge. That's all that matters.
Yeah. But he's only like 5'2 or something like that.
Oh, really?
No, he's not. He's like 5'9. I mean, or 5'10. He's not 6'5. He's not. Dolph Lundgren's actually
yeah,
like
he's
6'5.
Tall.
But both Schwarzenegger and some of the others.
But most bodybuilders are typically smaller.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's. But yeah, I think he should still kick our ass.
Oh, for sure.
Especially if he made fun of his Austrian accent.
Yeah, I'd go, ay.
But then I'd go hit on Hulk Hogan's daughter and then point my finger at Schwarzenegger and said, it was him. And I'd run.
No surprise that there's so many Republicans in this list, though.
Yeah. And I don't know if this guy is a Republican, but he has ties to Ireland. They have a Republican army there, I guess. Brendan Gleeson.
See, I don't think a lot of people know who Brendan Gleeson is, but if you've seen pretty much any movie with swords in it.
Yeah, the crazy guy from Braveheart.
Not the craziest, but he's pretty crazy.
He's crazy, but he's his friend. And he was in like 28 Days Later. And Lake Placid, he played the sheriff.
I mean, Troy.
Troy, yeah. He's one of those people that he would just look at me and I'd crap my pants.
Yeah. He was in Beowulf. There's another sword movie.
That's right.
He's in every one of those movies.
Yeah, and yeah, anything with swords. Anything where there are people who die from things other than torture porn and guns. Yeah.
He's actually a Highlander.
In a Highlander?
No, I'm joking. In real life, he's actually a Highlander.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He lives forever?
He's the last one.
That's right. So he's definitely older than 50.
Yeah, he's probably like 500.
What would have been cool, though, is in 28 Days Later, he gets killed after he gets infected. It would have been great to just see him go completely batshit crazy over all of England.
Zombie crazy.
That would be awesome.
Hey, 28 months later.
28 months later, they might have another one because they're invading Paris.
I've been living forever.
I just got better. Number three, Jackie Chan. Because, he'd kick our ass.
Dude's fast.
And as you pointed out in show prep, He'd make it funny, too.
Yeah, he'd keep me entertained. I'd have a bloody nose and I'd be laughing at the same time.
What'd you do with that
chair?
Do
it again. Yeah, how'd you do that?
You killed me with a wagon wheel. That's awesome.
Oh, my gosh. Was that a jump rope?
Yeah. I mean, this guy... And
was
you
that
know
a Cabbage Patch doll?
The other thing, what makes him... Cabbage Patch. What makes him so awesome is he was in Enter the Dragon. It was one of his earliest stunt roles.
Yeah.
And it's the scene
twice.
Where...
He's in it twice. He is.
It's the one scene where, like... Bruce Lee's down in the dungeon.
It's after the nunchuck part.
And like 9,000 ninjas attack
him. He's actually the one that whose neck is broken.
Yeah, so he actually broke his neck on that one, I think. Or he broke his back. He broke something in his spine.
Oh, I'm sure that's true. But I mean, the one when he's the guy that when Bruce Lee stomps his foot down and breaks his neck.
Oh, the...
And goes, wah!
Yeah.
That's Jackie Chan. Yeah. I also believe he's in the beginning. Sammo Hung is in that movie as well.
Who's that?
Sammo Hung, Jackie Chan's friend.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Jackie was a part of his entourage? I don't know this guy.
Yeah, he's one of those guys from like the carnival who he grew up with. There's like three of them.
Oh, okay.
And then they won the kung fu movies and stuff.
Wow. Cool. But number two, going back to the Rambo connection.
Sly Stallone.
Stallone. Because I think that I would almost put him higher on. I mean, he's number two. But if we were to have done this list back in, you know, like 1988, I don't think he'd be as high because it's just you're like, the guy looks like, I don't know, did you ever watch The X-Files?
On and off.
Did you ever see the episode where they had the mutant people from the woman who's like hermaphrodite who like...
You lost me.
Yeah, it was like this, they're out in the woods and there are these like deliverance-like mutants.
So
that's what
eyes.
Stallone is. Yeah, I mean, Stallone is like, he's scarier now because I don't think he feels pain.
That's possible.
I mean, yeah, it just looked like he just walked through a wall.
Yeah, he's huge. He's scary. He's got that just...
He's got a look that...
Yeah, that's enough to make me run.
You can hit on Hulk Hogan's daughter. You can make fun of Arnold Schwarzenegger's accent. But don't talk to Sly Stallone like this at all, or he'll kick your ass.
I have no words. No words.
You agree with me on that.
I agree with you.
Anyways, the next one, number one on the list, topping.
I believe he's a Republican too.
Well, he's behind.
A Republican candidate.
He's behind which one?
Huckabee.
He's behind Huckabee, and he was actually bashing on John McCain earlier.
Yes.
Which is why he's higher on the list, because McCain didn't kick his ass, the pussy.
And really, there's no other buddy in anyone else that's better for number one.
Yes.
Any kind of fighting... kicking my ass, badass list. It's Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris. He is the number one old fart that could... In fact, he could come in the room and fart, and that fart would kill you.
Oh, he could blink, and I would die.
Yeah, I mean, that's just... He could just kill you with his mind.
Yeah.
He'd shoot, like, hair out of his head, because he still has it a little bit. Or out of his beard, because he's got more on his beard. What the hell is up with that?
That's because it's like the greatest beard ever.
Yeah, and he could.
It's better than God's beard, because I think God has a beard, right?
I saw him, he had a goatee.
Okay.
God shaved a little bit. He wanted to look a little younger.
He's got a soul patch.
God wanted to hit it with the college girls, so he sort of trimmed up his beard.
That's a smart move.
See, there you go, Richard. I offended anybody who believes in God now, along with prostitutes and people with the AIDS virus.
Yes. And Austrians.
And Austrians, that's right. But we have a couple honorable mentions. Number one is Robert Blake.
Robert Blake.
Because he's like in his 70s.
Didn't he kill somebody?
And he killed somebody. Yeah. So already right there, he's above everyone else.
And he's in the media, kind of. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I still wouldn't. I mean, if you see him in the truck, he's like, you know, he looks like he's ready to snap.
Yeah. He's always snapping.
He's got a cockatoo on his shoulder while he's in the witness chair.
What? Is he a pirate now?
But no. Did he have a... Wasn't in Beretta? Didn't he have a cockatoo he talked to all the time? I don't know if he had it on his shoulder, but there was a pirate.
I don't know. When I hear bird on shoulder, I think pirate.
Well, no, but I mean, it wasn't like a... He wasn't Long John Silver. He wasn't like, arg, now I've got a solid...
Well, you're making twitchy faces with, you know, twitching movements with your eyes, and you're talking about birds on shoulders. I just assumed he was a pirate.
No, look it up. No, I think he had a cockatoo in that movie.
Okay, so, I believe you.
As we know, he loves cockatoo. And the other honorable mention is Steven Seagal. No, just a joke.
We're just joking.
Not really.
I mean, we're just joking.
Because the thing is, well, here, I got to play a clip here of an interview I did with Dolph when I got him to do the Fat Guys thing. And I asked him, I want to find out where he felt he stood.
you know, I was, of course, going to the internet for some information because that's the most...
Yes.
Of course, that's always accurate, right? And I
more or less.
And it had you compared to, of course, it listed a lot of the action heroes, Schwarzenegger, Stallone, Van Damme, Seagal, and Norris, along with you. This is just kind of one thing to ask, you know, the one of the classic tough guys. If all of you guys got in a room together and duked it out, who'd be first, who'd be last?
Well, look, these are all nice guys. I don't want to hurt them. You know, I know most of them. But what do you think? I mean, you just got to look at the credentials and figure it out.
Yeah. Seagal, would he go down first? He's a little out of shape.
Well, I don't want to say anything bad. I mean, he used to be a good martial artist. I don't know. I haven't seen him lately. I don't know what he looks like. But I'm in pretty good shape.
Cop out.
He refused to give an answer. But he didn't deny that Steven Seagal would go down first.
And almost in his non-answer, you could tell that he was agreeing with you.
Yeah, he's kind of like, yeah, he's really fat. He used to be good.
He's nice. I think he knows karate still.
Well, here's my defense of it, because I actually said that. I don't know whether you said this or somebody I was hanging out, and I mentioned this. And somebody says, well, Schwarzenegger really doesn't know how to fight. He's just a bodybuilder. I'm like, well, yeah, but Schwarzenegger could, like, run away from Steven Seagal. And you just have to, like, run in a circle for 5 minutes, and Steven Seagal would just pass out.
Yeah. Well, actually, it'd probably last a little longer if he had one of his energy drinks.
That's right. I found those. I got that. I gave it to my sister for Christmas.
They are disgusting.
Is it like, bad tasting?
You know, I'm one of those people that actually likes the taste of energy drinks.
Really?
And I tried this thing, and I almost puked.
Is it sort of like getting, like, somebody saying, oh, here's some great pot, and they give you oregano, and you smoke it?
It's like a Steven Seagal kick to the face. That's how it felt.
With his shoe off. And he hasn't bathed for 3 weeks. Steven Seagal at the end of Fire Down Below.
Fire Down Below. Is that the Alaska one?
No. I thought that one was the one with the where with Mars Helgenberger, basically the Aaron Brockovich story.
God, you know, I've seen so many of his movies. They're all the same.
Maybe it was a Fire. Which one? Hey, Richard, do you know your Steven Seagal movies? You look like you're ready to fall asleep, man. Anywho.
Anyways.
Oh, On Deadly Ground.
On Deadly
that's
Ground.
That's the one that's the Alaska movie.
Yes.
Where he's like, I'm going to blow up an oil refinery. I'm going to blow up an oil well and a refinery to save the environment. I'm like, how does that work?
All those titles sound the same. I know they're different, but they sound the same.
Above the Law.
It's
out
like,
for justice.
Yeah.
Marked for death. I mean,
it's like a verb, adjective, no, verb, proposition, and then noun.
You're going to diagram Steven Seagal titles, diagram sentences.
Running into the ground.
Yeah, On Deadly Ground. Okay,
that's a different order.
Yeah, that's true. Mark for Death. Out for Justice. Above
time,
the Law.
Time to Kill, right? Is that one?
Time to Kill?
I don't know. Maybe.
Hard to Kill.
Hard to Kill.
Hard to Kill with Kelly LeBrock.
Yeah. They're all the same.
Yeah. Except he just gets fatter.
Yep.
In each one.
He's got a gut.
That's right.
That's what happens when you're a traveling blues musician.
He's got a couple guts. Keeps them in the back seat of his car, apparently. So anyways, now there you go. That's our list. It's just rambling on about old guys kicking our ass. When we come back to reality and normal radio discussions as we do the Fat Guy Sound.
Welcome back to the show. We just finished up our internet only segment. If you guys want to listen in on the radio, be sure to check out fatguysatthemovies.com.
You can or don't if you're easily offended.
Or don't if you're easily offended, yeah.
If you're, how many groups did we offend in this one?
I believe four total.
We offended people with AIDS.
Yes.
We offended prostitutes.
We did.
We offended Austrians. And anyone who believes in God.
Yes. So, actually, with our top 10, we old people too. Well, not really. Because
no,
we
just select old people.
Select old people.
People with parrots.
Yes.
So anyone who, if you want to know what that means, go to fatguysatthemovies.com and you'll hear it. So, but now it's time for the Fat Guy Sound Off, which there's only one fat guy here, but as Jason has admitted, he's a little chubby.
A little chubby.
A little chubby. So the first one, the big story that everybody's talking about.
Everybody
is talking about is Stomp the Yard. No, I'm just kidding.
Stomp the Yard 2.
Stomp the Yard 2 has been greenlit. No, it's Heath Ledger.
Heath Ledger passed away on
Tuesday
afternoon.
Believe yeah, like around
3 or 4 o'clock.
Well, they think it was they think the actual time of death was sometime between like 1 and 2:45.
Right, but he was found at 3:30.
Yeah. And what's your take on this?
You know, I first got the email from some coworkers linking me to a website saying Heath Ledger dead at 28. I thought it was a joke. Honestly thought it was a farce. And you know,
well, considering he's playing the Joker in the upcoming, I was like, wow, is this a viral?
You know what?
Thing?
I didn't even make that connection. But
really,
God, that would have been almost sick but brilliant marketing.
You expect him to show up in June to go, "Hey guys."
Yeah. Well,
it didn't happen.
I hope it wouldn't
they wouldn't wait that long.
And I hope it'd be an hour later.
Yeah.
But God, imagine that happening on April 1st.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's this is the thing though. He had right now we're in all preliminary stuff because we haven't gotten to. And of course, when you hear this, you know, Nancy Grace and everybody else on cable news is going to have the most up to date stuff. So we're already talking behind ourselves. But as it is right now, I heard he had, what, 6 prescription drugs to his name?
I'm not sure about that number. I know he had 2 different sleeping pills.
I know it's 6.
Okay.
I think it was 6. And there's nothing illegal, but it's.
No.
You're 28.
I heard he was addicted to them, though.
Yeah. Yeah, he was addicted to this. It was the sleeping stuff.
Ambien.
He was Ambien, and then he had other stuff like anti-anxiety or something. I'm not exactly sure what they are.
Nothing illegal.
But I was thinking about this today, and I'm not speaking ill of Heath Ledger because I don't know the guy, and he's done some good stuff. He's a good actor. And it's a shame that anything like this would happen, but. My grandmother's in her 80s, and I don't think she has 6 prescription drugs that
right.
she's currently taking.
Well, he's an actor.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, no, this is true. Out there, everybody's on, supposedly, from what I heard, I got a friend who works on a set, and he's like, everybody's on anti-anxiety medication. He's like, everybody.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they go around, and they share doctors. They'll, like, do you remember that story a couple weeks ago that came out about the steroids and like people like Mary J. Blige and Terry of Tyler Perry showed up on
yeah,
the list?
Yeah.
And it wasn't that they necessarily took the steroids. It's that they were going to doctors who have a reputation for just handing stuff out.
Yeah.
And apparently that's not just steroids. It's stuff like anti-anxiety medication. They like pass around doctors' names and they know that you can just go there and they don't like sort of what happened with painkillers 15 to 20 years ago where people really started to just get prescription and kind of, you know, running Smurf and prescription type things. And same thing's happening now. And the big drug of choice is anti-anxiety.
Yeah. And I'm not saying it's okay, but I can see where they come from. I mean, these guys are put through grueling
work
days.
It's not like they're going to war.
No, not at all. Not at all. But a lot is expected of them. And I think too much is expected of them. And I think that the industry is to blame for stuff like this that happens.
Well, true. But then again, you have to look at it and say you're 28. You know, you're in your 20s. It's one thing if you got like, you know, I'm not saying that Britney Spears is on something, but if she got on something when she was like 16, that's a different story. I mean, you're talking about, you know, kids. But if you're in your 20s, you should know better. And that's the thing. And part of it also I've heard is that there's also people have suggested that his involvement in the Batman movie as the Joker going too method with the part is what got him all depressed and had him trouble sleeping and all that sort of thing.
It wasn't that. I think I read interviews with him that said, you know, he was just so involved and so obsessed with getting the part right that he was constantly thinking about it. So yeah. he would go to sleep, he would take a sleeping pill, and his brain was racing so much about what he'd be doing the next day, how he wanted to perfect it, you know, what not. And he would take another one.
Yeah.
And I just read an article about how Jack Nicholson was asked about the whole event. He said, "I told you so."
Yeah.
And it was in regards to, I guess he talked to Heath, you know, a couple of weeks before he started filming that said, you know, this role is going to be tough on you. And I just thought it was kind of tasteless that he would make that kind of remark.
Well,
I told you so.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, I like Jack Nicholson as a Joker, but you can't say it was a feat of acting.
No.
I mean, he just acted crazy. I mean, it's like Cesar Romero wasn't exactly.
He didn't act crazy. He acted like Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
He put on white face paint, put on a goofy purple costume, and played Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't like that Batman very much. But, you know, I'm one of the for people that don't like it, so sue me.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think that the whole Heath Ledger thing, and this is really what's taken up all of our time, really, in the Fat Guy sound off. I mean, I feel bad for Heath Ledger, and but it was one of those things, you know, that stuff's bound to happen with celebrities. Every couple of years, I mean, and it sort of overshadows Brad Renfro's death.
Yeah, and the problem is with that is no one knows who Brad Renfro is, yeah. So he doesn't get the kind of attention that someone like Heath Ledger would.
Exactly.
And that doesn't make that doesn't make his death any less tragic, but that's how the industry works.
Yeah. Well, on that note, and the happy go lucky note, we're gonna go to break, and when we come back, I got another little story to tease you with, and then we'll wrap up the reviews. And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We are wrapping things up, but before we go to the review wrap-up, I want to throw one more story out there for Jason, because I teased him with this off the air. And I said, I'll tell you on the air.
I've been waiting.
Yeah, it's about Denise Richards. Apparently, she is going to do a reality TV show of what it's like to be a mum, of a single mum in Hollywood. That's how they put it in the celebrity news, MUM. Okay. I guess she's not British.
She's British.
Yeah, but a single mom in Hollywood, and is going to profile her with her kids. It's basically going to be like every other reality show where they follow people around. It's going to be like Anna Nicole without all the drugs, you know. And it's going to be on some cable network. Well, Charlie Sheen, who's the father of the kids, in a weird twist of fate, decides to be the sober one. Is like, no, you're not putting my kids on TV. She went to court, sued him. And the judge granted her the right to put her kids as stars of a reality TV show without the consent of their father.
Wow.
And you know what I say about this? Kevin Federline, watch out, because they'll rule anything, because who knows, those kids may go back to Britney Spears.
Yeah, when they're old enough.
Yeah. I mean, when you got the this is Hollywood, man.
You know, when Kevin Federline is the better of the two parents, that really worries me.
Yeah, it's terrifying. Well, you know what it is? It's not even that he's brilliant or he's a good parent. All he's doing is listening to what his lawyers tell him.
Well, that's the first step.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, seriously, if you ever have to go to court, just do what your lawyers tell you. They'll say, hey, look, stop going and partying. Stop running around. Go to court. There you go.
And do what you need to do. Get it done.
Britney Spears is the funny thing about the Britney Spears story is whenever you read a Britney Spears story, Britney Spears showed up a courtroom, threw up on the steps, and drove away. And she was wearing a hot pink top and blah, blah, blah. And it'll tell you everything she wore in every single story I've ever read.
Well, that's the more important part of the story.
I guess so. On that note, we got to wrap it up here. We got our reviews. We both have to give preliminary sucks to Rambo and Meet the Spartans.
Yep.
You said Untraceable.
Suck.
And I said it kind of rocked. I said kind of sucked.
Kind of sucked.
And then How She Move, your...
Kind of sucked,
and I was kind of rocked. Next week, we're going to be talking about The Eye with Jessica Alba, my future sweetheart, when I work that out with my wife. we got Strange Wilderness from Adam Sandler and Company, and Over Her Dead Body with Eva Longoria Parker.
And Paul Rudd.
Yeah. And then Hannah Montana in 3D. So
triple the fun.
Yeah. So if you want to reach us, fatguys@themovies.com. Email us at fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. You can call us at 614-388-8735. And Jason, final words.
Well, I had a good time. Thanks for inviting me. I hope I did Neil proud. And maybe we'll be back sometime soon.
Adios.
Bye.
Jello pudding pops.